We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming in our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hello there, Nick.
Hello there, Rich. What's happening? That's quite the guest list you have today.
Oh, you know, run-of-the-mill Thursday for us here, but starting very high, setting the bar almost out of reach for everybody else with you leading off.
No, I feel like I'm like the, just yeah, you're, I'm warming up. I'm like the warm-up act. I need a couple of good jokes or something to get everybody going.
No, you're just fine, just fine. Hey, it was great to see you. What a wonderful time we had at Tim Throckmorton's retirement party a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that was great. It was so great to get up there and see you, Rich, and see a lot of familiar faces up there. And it was the perfect way to send off Tim, too, and the brilliant career that he had. And it was really, really an honor to be in that room with Tim and with you and with Jim Morris and with all the, you know, the legends that started at WABI, and to hear all the great stories and the fun stories too of how things got going. And I'm happy that Tim got the proper send off and he can enjoy retirement and go off into the sunset. Well,
no question about that. Well, let's start with the Bruins, because my goodness, get the brooms out. I fully expect them to complete the sweep tonight. What a postseason it's been for these Bruins.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, they're really taking advantage of the road that's been paved for them. And that's no knock on the Bruins. That's the way the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs goes. If you get in the dance, you always say it with these playoffs, if you get in the dance, you got a shot. And the fact that Tampa Bay was knocked out early on, and some of the higher-seeded teams, and the teams that maybe you'd be worried about, say like the Washington Capitals, who always seem to have the Bruins' number, well, they got knocked out. I mean, this really has been set up for the Bruins to get to the Stanley Cup final. And to their credit, they've played well, and they've responded to any adversity that they've had. And they've won six straight games now, too. They're rolling right now. And this roster, too, Rich, it's fun to watch not only the veterans on this team that have hoisted the cup before play well and lead this group, but the younger players have really made a leap, I think, in the second half of this season and in the postseason, whether it be Charlie McAvoy or Brandon Carlo. You know, guys like that have really taken a step forward. But, of course, I think the big story is Tuukka Rask is playing lights-out hockey right now. He has been brilliant. Some of the best hockey he's probably played in his career. And when you get a hot goalie like that, it can go a long way. And I think it's been the biggest part of the Bruins' success.
The only downside is the loss the other night of Chris Wagner, and it looks like he may be out for the rest of postseason.
Yeah, and that's tough because he's a guy that, as you saw, is willing to sacrifice and willing to do that for his team. The timing of it actually works out because they'll be able to slide Noel Acciari, who's our native Rhode Islander from Johnston, Rhode Island, and went to Providence College here. They'll be able to slide him into the fourth line, which he's been with them for most of the season. And it's sort of been between whether it's Acciari or Wagner or Nordstrom sliding into the wing spots and then Sean Corrali in that center spot. The timing of full health for Acciari really works out there. So, and Bruce Cassidy said there's some similarities in terms of Wagner and Acciari as players. And they'll bring the same kind of energy, I think, you know, if either one of them are on the ice. So, the timing of that works well.
Speaking of Bruce Cassidy, we talk about the great coaches the Boston teams have, from Belichick to Alex Cora, Brad Stevens, and I feel like Cassidy is often the fourth guy mentioned, and I'm not sure he should be, because he, I think, is primarily responsible for this tremendous turnaround.
Absolutely, and he's an honest guy, and he doesn't sugarcoat anything for his players, and I think his players have responded to that, because that can go one or two ways as a coach, Rich. But Bruce, I think, has been able to push the right buttons with some of his players. And I remember a story, I believe it was Joe McDonald from The Athletic, wrote something about David Backes during the season and how, you know, he was kind of frustrated with his role and what was going on. And so I think he and Bruce Cassidy literally had a beer and talked about it. They said, you know, and I think he said that to Joe and revealed that, yeah, I took David out, we had a beer, and we talked about it. And that's like, who says that? Is it coach? You don't see Bill Bell, I took Tom out for a beer, and we talked about the offense, defense, special team. You'd never hear that from Bill Belichick, you know. And so it's refreshing to hear how honest he is. And like I said, he pushes the right buttons. He's done that with Tuukka Rask before, too. And he's not afraid to sit a guy if he has to, and to switch things up and to motivate guys. And, you know, if a guy has a bad night, he's going to tell him. If a guy has a good night, he's going to tell him too. So that's why I think Cassidy really has struck a chord with these guys. And they've really, as you've seen, they've responded well.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. Let's talk a little Red Sox right now. Remember back in April, all those many days ago when they were playing terrible? My goodness, it seems like a distant memory.
Yeah, panic in the streets back in April. Season's over. Pack it up. See you later. Nah, I'm not surprised. And I was one of those that said it's early because it was April. It was April, and it was clear that these guys were sort of easing their way into the season, especially the pitching staff. It was clear that that was what they were doing because guys hadn't thrown a lot in the spring, and a guy like Chris Sale, you know, just didn't have it. It was contagious through the rotation that guys just didn't really have it. But I think you're seeing now it's coming around. And Chris Sale, case in point, like he is brilliant. 17 strikeouts the other night. I mean, that was an incredible performance. And I think the offense is coming along too. I mean, JD Martinez has been pretty steady so far this season, but, you know, he's hitting the cover off the ball. Rafael Devers has been one of the hottest hitters, if not the hottest hitter in the league. Like, you know, guys are starting to come around. And you just knew that there was so much talent. This team that won 108 games last year, that you knew they were going to come around at some point, and they have, and they put together a win streak, and here they are, right back in it. What do you know?
You mentioned JD Martinez. Look, Mookie's great, but there's nobody on that team that I have the confidence in that I do in Martinez. Every time he comes up to the plate, I expect him to do something, and usually I expect him to hit a home run.
You know, I didn't know how much of a professional hitter he was, Rich, until we watched him last season. And because when they signed him, I said, okay, well, this is the guy you put in the middle of the order, a power bat, that sort of thing. That's what I was thinking because of all the home run numbers, right? But I look at the guy and his approach to the plate and his discipline and the way he can drive the ball, especially a guy, I think I've said this to you before, Rich, like a guy that can get his hands inside the baseball the way he does,
right?
It's special and make it look so effortless sometimes too. And he studies hard. It's infectious, his study habits within the clubhouse. I think it's rubbed off on some of the younger players, maybe like a Mookie Betts even. And he is such a catalyst for that lineup. And we saw it last year, and you sign him and you win a World Series. I think that's no coincidence that he was a big addition going into last season, and they go out and they win the World Series, and now he's coming around, and the lineup's coming around. So you have a guy that is just an anchor in the middle of that lineup. It goes a long way. He's such a pro as a hitter.
Not a lot of fanfare when they re-signed Mitch Moreland, but he's been unbelievable so far.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jared Carrabas called him Mitchie Two Bags, but yeah, he's Mitchie Four Bags now, man. He kept them afloat early in the season. Without Mitch Moreland, you don't have those however many wins you had on the West Coast. Like, he really, yeah, without him, it might look a little bit different right now. But, yeah, he's certainly taking advantage of his opportunity, and especially with Steve Pierce struggling too at the plate coming into this year. Yeah, Moreland's been important for them.
So what do they need? We're a couple of months from the trade deadline, but it won't be too long before some teams decide they're out of it for this year. Some may have decided that already. Is there anything that they could acquire in the next couple of months that would be enough to get them to the finish line?
I think now that you're seeing what this Red Sox team really is in terms of the bats in the order and the starting rotation and the talent there, I think it's clear, Rich, they need some bullpen help. They do. And whether they go out and acquire some sort of top-end closer or they go out and get a guy that's a late-inning reliever and keep Barnes in the role that he's in. But it's been clear recently that Ryan Brazier has not had the kind of success that he had last season, and his stuff isn't what it was. And, you know, he's had his struggles. Maybe he comes around. Who knows? And I do think that Marcus Walden is coming around a little bit for that, doing that bullpen. But they could use another arm or two there. You can't have enough help in the bullpen. You really can't. And I know they got by last year, but, you know, off season you lose Joe Kelly and you lose Craig Kimbrell. And I know Kimbrell's out there, but I just don't see that happening. If they haven't signed him by now, I don't know if they're going to sign him. And he wants something long-term. So go out and deal for a bullpen arm or two and beef that up, because I think that's starting to show in terms of their maybe their weaknesses and is trying to close out games.
Is it drier in Rhode Island than it is here? Have you been able to get out and play any golf yet?
I've played once. I haven't been able to get out fairly recently. I'll tell you, I played Bangor Muni before I left town a couple weeks ago.
Oof.
Ooh, boy, that was, yeah, my shoes are still drying out from that. It was wet. And it's been wet here too, but we're seeing sevens in the forecast this weekend.
Oh, nice.
So that's always nice. It's the first number, not the last number, which is really nice. You know, when you're talking 70s, that means, yeah, I think I'm going to have to try to hit the golf course.
Send those up the interstate if you could. We'd like some of those numbers.
Well, when I was up there, though, even though it was wet, the weather was nicer than it was here. So thank you for that, Bangor. Your timing was impeccable.
That's how we welcome you back anytime you come to town, Nick.
Very nice of you. It was very nice, Fred.
We're here for you. Nick, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. We'll catch up with you again before too long.
Sounds great. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Rich.
That's Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence, with us here on Downtown.